Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. It's a 9 o'clock hour of the award-winning radio presentation. It is our pleasure to be joined by Dave Peacock talking about Prop 1 and 2 in the big day for the MLS vote here in St. Louis. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
You are already out and about on the move canvassing, I hear tell. Is that accurate?
We have been out and about, and we got people at every polling location, and voters have been great. It's a great day in St. Louis, and we've got a lot of confidence as we move through the day.
Because it's such a low turnout, relatively speaking, 12.5% voter turnout at this time, April in 2013 for this general, it's every vote truly does matter. And at the same time, it's difficult, at least I think it is, to try and handicap polling data and get an idea of where all measures will fall. What kind of indication are you getting on the health of this initiative for today's vote?
You know, we feel good. We know that in what I'll call more formal polling, things started moving our way over the last couple of weeks. We're picking up a little momentum. I do agree with you, especially with low turnout. It's difficult to judge based on polling. So that's why we're not taking anything for granted. We have a lot of confidence. We've got over 300 people out working polls, mostly volunteers, which tells you a lot about sort of the momentum and movement of this. And, you know, everyone we interact with, we're asking them to go vote. And like you said, every single vote matters in this case.
Dave, when you talk to people about this proposal, some folks in the city point to things in the city that aren't good, that maybe are shortcomings in the city. How do you try to persuade folks that aren't on board with this, that this will benefit everybody in the city?
You know, and look, we get it. Every issue, every candidate, I mean, nobody gets 100% of a vote, and so we understand that. We just try to share with people the facts. And look, this has been a hotly debated and discussed topic since really November, and I think thoroughly vetted by media, by citizens. You know, the data has been out there. At the end of the day, no matter kind of how you look at it, it generates more tax revenue than is being paid in. So this is a situation where, because of the size, and we learned from other stadium deals that weren't as good and tried to do it right. And because of the sizing, this is one where we can say, look, we can have this and generate the taxes to serve, to cover other services in the city. So this is a unique opportunity where we can actually have an amenity and know that it's the right investment relative to taking care of other services in the city. And then you throw in the community benefits agreement, which is the first of its kind and really should be the standard bearer in the beginning of what we do with all our major developments downtown.
And for the voters who might need a refresher course, where exactly is the tax money coming? Most of it's from a user tax, right?
Correct. So what happens is voters vote yes, hopefully, on Proposition 1, which really, if you think about it, generates $20 million a year to cover expansion and securitization of Metrolink, as well as, you know, neighborhood infrastructure, workforce, job training. I think they've got those security cameras that have seemed to be effective so far to expand those in other parts of the city. And then automatically the use tax goes up $4 million or a little less than $4 million a year. And what we're asking voters is to just allocate that to the stadium and a little bit of minority workforce training as well. And that puts us in a position to cover $50 million of the $60 million. And this is one thing that doesn't get discussed a lot. The other $10 million is really money that the owners are putting up front. And then to the degree the sales tax justifies it, they're paid back over time. So a lot of TIFs are the city paying out money first, and then you know, the city pays itself back. In this case, the owners are putting $10 million up and then are paid back through what they call a sales tax reimbursement. But there are people are really voting on that use tax, and it's paid by larger businesses primarily, most of it, on items that are purchased outside of the state, so that people can't purchase items outside the state and circumvent the local sales tax. So, you know, I think this is one, again, where we can get a lot of our services and needs met and create something that generates, you know, more than a dollar for every dollar put in.
Dave, the soccer tradition in St. Louis goes back years and is, you know, impressive. There's no question about that. And I know you guys, before you jump in, study what the long-term impact could be. What is your level of confidence that this will be a successful endeavor long-term and we'll be able to battle through maybe some seasons where the play on the field isn't good? Are you guys confident that this thing will continue to draw fans down the road?
We are. I mean, I think the sport is growing in popularity. It's the preferred sport among millennials. The average age of the fan is about 36 years old compared to other sports that were closer to 50. And look, if we didn't believe in the long-term viability, it really wouldn't make sense. You know, the owners are putting $250 million-plus investment in the city, and we know that it's going to have negative cash flow or positive profitability the first, you know, 12 years or more. And so we're banking on this working over the long term. And frankly, if you look at all the statistics and the popularity among youth, that we feel confident that this the popularity of the sport will grow. And it is something, like you said, that we identify with. I mean, you could argue that the nationalization of soccer in the U.S. really started in St. Louis, and that should be a source of pride for everybody as just one of the unique characteristics of our city.
If it passes, when might be the first soccer game? When would we see the stadium completed, the team here, and then ready to go?
The goal is 2020, so season starts sort of mid-March. So we'd be looking at maybe mid-late March 2020 for the first game. Most of the reason for that delay is the land that we want to use is really 21 acres of underutilized land in the middle of the city that are on and off ramps that are being moved to a more convenient location on Jefferson. And the process to do that just takes a little bit of time. And so once we are able to get control of the site, it'd take about a little over a year and a half to construct a stadium and get it open.
And the MLS has always been adamant about the stadium being downtown somewhere. Is that correct?
They really have. I mean, they've learned, I think, from examples within their own existing team set that downtown stadiums are popular. And look, I think they look at St. Louis really in an optimistic way. I mean, they see the growth of people, millennials moving downtown, staying downtown as positives. And there's reasons why they want to see the stadium down there, given that that's a big part of their fan base.
Dave Peacock, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn with you on the radio program. Dave, if this is voted down, is it airtight that the MLS will not be coming to St. Louis within the next 5 years?
Look, there really isn't a plan B, and that's why this vote is critical and why we've, you know, taken on the effort and taken it very seriously. And I think as you look at the expansion, the price tag is going up. You know, maybe 7 years ago or 8 years ago, it was $30 million. Now it's $150, which is as tight as it is. And then that obviously is being paid 100% by the owners. But if you get – even the next round could be as high as $200 million. So if people think that, oh, well, we can just wait and do this later – it's probably going to get to a point where it's priced out of a market like St. Louis, given our size. So now is really the optimal time to get this done.
Watching the news and the reading in the paper, it seems you guys have gotten more and more people on board. Do you guys feel like you have momentum heading into the vote?
We feel good about the momentum. Again, we don't take anything for granted. And the reason we've got, you know, I say 300 plus people out is to make sure that in what I call that last mile, as people are making the decisions to vote, we're giving them information and we're communicating with them. And so, again, we need our fans to show up and then get out and vote yes. The weather's pretty good, so that shouldn't be a hindrance. And but we do feel like we've got momentum going into today.
I can't imagine what the emotion must be like for you and everyone who's worked with us to work so hard and pour your heart and soul into this and then sit and wait for the polls. What will you do the rest of the day waiting for the turnout?
Well, we don't wait. I mean, I'll be at 6 or 7 polling locations over the next several hours, and we work. And then when the polls close, we gather together and watch closely. And the good thing is with a city election, it's a little bit smaller, so the results should come in hopefully a little bit faster. And, I'll tell you, I think the group that's worked on this, and it, you know, we had over 700 volunteers sign up from the beginning. I think that, you know, everyone can hold their head high no matter what. I mean, the effort was there, the investment of time and energy. So obviously things, any issue is going to be challenging as it relates to an election. But we feel very good going into today and have a lot of confidence as we work the polls.
Dave Peacock with us here. Big day for the MLS and St. Louis. We will see how this plays out over the next 12 hours. And Dave Peacock, kind enough to take time out of a very busy and important day for him to join us here on 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com. Dave, we really appreciate the time this morning. Best of luck today, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you guys for getting the word out. Appreciate it.
Dave Peacock, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Doug, here is the poll result. I sent it out at around 6:30, and here is what it is. We've got 1,171 votes. Do you believe St. Louis City voters will vote yes on Propositions 1 and 2 today, and in turn, the city builds a new MLS stadium? 53% say yes, 47% say no on the fan page. And that's probably not a good representation of the city voter because most of the fan page members live in Huntley or Town and Country. Mm-hmm. But do you believe St. Louis City voters will vote yes on Propositions 1 and 2, and in turn, the city builds a new MLS stadium? 102 voters say no, 77 say yes. So they're more optimistic on the Twitter tweets, which is something I don't think I've ever said.
Twitter tweets.
Yeah, Twitter tweets.
Twitter is an optimistic form of social media.
Maybe it's because they've gotten rid of the egg profiles that it's gotten more optimistic.
I don't know.
Seems positive on Twitter.
I would just think that most people who are going to be active voters want to see improvements in the city of St. Louis and understand that it costs something. You got to pay. Nothing's free.
I think there are a lot of people who see, no matter what the details are, funding for stadiums, and they have an insta-click default position that they are against it no matter what the details are, and then they vote no. I just don't know how many of those people are going to come out in this general election.
I agree with that, and I think there's other people who live in parts of the city that are awful to live in that are going to be against anything that doesn't help their standard of life. I just don't know if those groups are as organized as the pro-stadium people that have 700
volunteers. I don't really know who the opposition is. Tashar Jones spoke out against it a few days ago.
It's not or I don't think it's the organization. Right. Isn't. That's why I was bullish that this thing will pass, because one side seems to have boots on the ground pushing their agenda, and I haven't seen an organized push on the other side.
And they've done a pretty good job of explaining that this is going to be ultimately a money maker for the city, and it's not just thanks for the money, let's benefit a billionaire football owner who's just going to reap all the rewards, as the Rams stadium seemed to be headed towards.
Plowhawk, what did you think as you listened as an opponent?
I thought it was good. I should have asked him about, is the stadium the only thing they're going to be working on? Are they going to try to make an atmosphere around that? Not necessarily a level of Ballpark Village, but try to put some bars and restaurants around there for people to stay longer than just the game. But Dave Peacock's a smart guy. He ain't got all his ducks in a row. And I'm not saying it's going to fail, but I think if you look at a situation and people bring out Atlanta and how they're succeeding, you look at a team like Minnesota is a new team in MLS, and there's no turnout. They're getting destroyed. I think their first three games, they lost 6-0, 5-1, and 7-0. I mean, if you start out like that, that's when it's going to start to fail. So it's all about the product at hand, too, more so than if a stadium gets built.
It can't be. And that's why I asked him about that. You have to have a long-term plan where this thing is feasible, even if the first 2 years are brutal in terms of the play on the field. You can't have a project where this much is at stake, and it has to be based on whether or not the team has a good first or second season. Said it's not.
How about get back on defense? You know, you can't lose 6-0 in soccer. Somebody's not playing defense. Get a fullback back there. There, that problem solved.
What fullback would you say of the international players?
Some of the better ones. I think we all know who the top fullbacks are. These are guys with big legs who will sit back there full ways back, and they will protect their goalie.
Now, don't you think, Tim, that part of the pro stadium group and push is a lot of people that were hurt that the Rams left and want to have a team here just so we can say we won one. I think that is a factor for some people. Yeah.
Really?
I think a lot of people like, we lost the NFL. We know the city's better than in terms of being a sports community. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know what happened with the Rams and the awful level of play. And I think a lot of people also want to win. Okay? We'll get an MLS team.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we got a team.
I wonder if people feel any better or less hurt the fact that San Diego lost their team. That's a pretty good city. Oakland's losing their team. We're not the only ones losing a team. And it's not just because we're, you know, a city in decline in the eyes of some.
I think St. Louis people are more mad because now people are talking about San Diego leaving and how the NFL is unjust. But when I think Tim explains it a lot better, and he's done it previously, thank you very much, that people didn't care that it was a given that St. Louis was going to move rather than it was a surprise that San Diego moved. So I think St. Louis natives and Ram fans were kind of fed up with that talk too. So I think that rekindled some of the hatred towards the NFL.
Despite what Roger Goodell and the other owners would say, I don't think they mind at all when teams move. I think they like it when teams move because every owner gets like $15 million just up front as soon as a team moves. In the relocation fees. So if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, what do you care if St. Louis moves? Here comes a check for $15 million. Oh, San Diego moved, another $15 million. Oakland, there's $45 million. I didn't do a thing.
And you go, we'll put this right back on the team.
Right.
Sure we will.
And they're upset. They don't want franchises to move. That's exactly what they want. They do want them to move. Why wouldn't you? The other owners are around the league. They don't care if they go to St. Louis or L.A., I'm sure. Probably rather go to L.A. Sure, move them. Great. Where's my money?
Still think if you had an elaborate scarf tax, could have self-funded the thing.
On anyone who walks into the soccer stadium, anyone even thinking about it, because we don't have the stadium yet, so it's hard to tax
something.
You
sound like you don't know anything about economics. You have a sales tax on souvenir scarves, and then you have a user tax for actually wearing them at the games, and then it self-funds.
You hit somebody with like $10 fine if they're wearing a scarf. And if thousands of people show up with scarves, you make that money each and every night.
You don't call it a fine. It's just
a user tax.
Yeah, user fee.
Okay.
Boom. Profitability. Hello.
Okay.
Self-sustaining. Hi. That's how business is done the right way.
Okay.
Larry had a big night last night with his Periscope pre-show to Raw. Doug, take a listen, if you would.
Hit the lever, Palsy.
I think this is the best segment because I can't say. My eyes are open, you stupid idiot.
Excuse me.
You don't get no work hole. Donald, would you quit asking me about panties?
God bless it.
Periscope or Facebook Live. I'll talk to everybody later. Have a good night.
So that was a
smooth.
There's this one part. I'll play it again. I can't even explain it right now. I'll just play it again.
Let me take a listen.
With the lever, Plowsy.
D. Donald, would you quit asking me about panties?
There it comes again.
Sounds like Dotem's causing problems in the Periscope, too.
He causes problems everywhere. Larry could very easily suspend him from Periscope. And suspend him indefinitely.
Well, my guess is if this thing passes today, they will publicly thank Deke Dotem, who's been a supporter of the MLS in the stadium.
He has been
working behind the scenes tirelessly. Thank you, Deke.
And Larry, most of it great audio. However, this one had a little bit better video at the end when he's trying to turn off his phone. You know how he sometimes has difficulty doing that. He turns the camera angle towards like his living room, and then it froze like that for like 30 seconds. So you can kind of see what Larry's dealing with in front of him, like his decor and his place.
What's he got? A couple of it's nice.
It looks like a throwback to the early 90s, like the furniture, and I think you see a couple lion posters with like spiritual things on
Saints.
It. So,
nice.
Yeah. Seamaster, can you flip the monitor so I can see the stuff up here? Facebook Live, this was the halftime show. Take a listen to
it. Lawrence Michael, I would not do mustache rides. What up, bread? And no boss does not need bigger milk. There are no glory holes. My eyes are open. Who cares about Biff or Bill? if her boyfriend or husband will let me.
I wonder what the question was.
I'm not doing a shout out to Ray King's dad. I don't know about the hot shots. DMA Live. I have to wait and see what happens.
How many people are on board with this? Do you have numbers? Like when he does it?
He opens it up and immediately there are like 75 people in there asking him questions. And I keep asking him about Bill's hole and he won't answer.
Wait, who you keep asking?
I want to try and
figure
out.
You do?
Yeah, of course I do.
What's the question exactly?
What do you think I'm doing on a Monday night?
Wait a minute. The CEO or whatever your title is?
I am stepping away from responsibilities with the radio station outside of operating this this show. Let me make that clear.
This show
Crystal, it's been going on for a couple months, but I just want to make sure it's really clear now.
All right, the CEO of the show right. and Inside STL.
Well, I'm still the CEO of Inside STL.
Okay. Is trolling Larry on his Periscope.
I'm not trolling. I'm asking how Bill's hole's doing. Doug, that's
who cares
story.
About Biff or Bill?
Yeah. And the purpose of the Periscope was what? What's he supposed to be discussing?
Halftime, it's kind of like when they go to Ernie Johnson at halftime of the NCAA tournament game. It kind of a, okay, here's what's happened so far. What do you think is going to happen next on Raw?
Would you quit asking me about Randy?
Oh, man. Larry's going to need some carpet cleaning.
And Larry
He's
knows.
I wonder where he could get that.
Larry yeah. knows he doesn't have to answer every question, right?
Yeah. It's about time for spring cleaning. In fact, it's here.
What?
Now's your chance to save huge on carpet cleaning if you're a little flimmy on your periscoping sessions. So you're going to want to call the folks at Zero Res. Is dust, dander, phlegm, bacteria living in your carpet? Well, if it is, Zero Res patented empowered water cleaning system, your home will smell like it should. Almost everybody has got stains on their carpet somewhere. Call Zero Res and call them today and ask for the $5.90. It's kind of spring cleaning special. Three rooms, Zero Resified, starting at $119. They came out to my house and I can tell you they did an absolutely fantastic job. They also had this gotta love it guarantee where if you don't like the work that they did, they will come back until you do. Here's the phone number. Write it down if you would. I'm about to give it. 314-474-2020.
What?
They also have a 314-474-LUBROCK, LUBROCK. 314-474-2020. Or hit up their website at ZeroResSTL.com.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Doug, we have this. The 590 The Fan, KFNS Gateway Golf Cart. Your chance at big savings throughout the 2017 golf season. Cards are on sale now. At InsideSTL.com, users receive four 18-hole rounds with cart, one 9-hole round with cart, and two large buckets of practice range balls. It's over $250 in golf value for just $125. Play Tapawingo, Aberdeen, the Quarry at Crystal Springs, Belk Park, and more. Tee times can be made anytime, Monday through Friday and afternoon on the weekends. Save over 50% on golf this spring and summer with the KFNS Gateway Golf Cart on sale now at InsideSTL.com. Doug Biff. On the line. Yeah, Biff.
Oh, hello, Biff.
Hi, Biff.
Hello, Biff.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You okay?
There, Doug?
Yes, I'm here. What's up, Biff?
Hold on. I got to get up. Hold on. All right.
On the ladder again.
Yeah. You there?
Well, yeah. What are you doing? Biff.
I was on a roof. I had to get down off the roof.
Okay. Be careful up there.
Hey. So, first of all, as y'all gentlemen know, I live in the city,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as I get off the phone here, I'm going to go vote yes for the soccer stadium.
How about that, Doug?
Okay. So anyone and everyone listening that lives in the city and is registered, please go vote for a soccer stadium.
Okay. Where's your polling place?
You know, it's the newly renovated city library that's like 150 years old. You know that place?
Yeah. That's where you go, huh?
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it's very nice in there. You guys been down there since they redid it?
I have not, no.
Doug is against books.
No, that's from the Prince of Misinformation right there.
Well, hey, Tim, remember I told you last week when I was making my play of the year and I was going to go to Vegas and put $5,000 on the Cardinals over?
Yep.
Yeah, I did it. When I got off the phone with y'all Thursday, me and my buddy,
His name's Grover. Me and Grover, we flew down to Vegas.
Grover Cleveland?
Oh, yeah.
No, we call him Grover because he looks like Grover off Sesame Street.
Oh, Purple Man.
We flew to Vegas and Thursday, and we went down to the Palazzo, and I put $5,000 down. The line was about, Tim, it was to win five, I had to put almost 6,700, I think. Mm. My buddy Grover, he balls harder than me, so he put down like, I think, whatever, something like 12, 13, something to win 10.
Well, that's the math.
Yeah, and those bets are looking pretty good after the win on Sunsbat.
Probably would have had to put 26 down to win 20. It just kind of goes up.
I see, yeah. I see the pattern.
Well, here's the other thing.
Okay.
On baseball, I'm one for one, Tim.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry, two for two. Yeah. So
you like the A's yesterday, and you like the Sox?
No. I bet on the Dodgers yesterday, and they won. I bet on the Cardinals on opening day, and they won.
What was Clayton Kershaw on the Dodgers? Probably minus 350 or something.
I think it was 450.
Holy moly, Doug. That's betting $450 to win 100.
They won like 14-2 or something.
Well, they're playing those amazing Padres.
Right. Yeah, they're supposed to have a huge year.
Yeah. Well, we got on the gambling ring, now we got another guy involved, and he's really good at baseball. So his name, we call him Odd Job.
Oh, yeah. And from the movie Goldfinger. James Bond.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, his dad, actually, we call his dad Goldfinger. His dad, that's his dad's name, is Goldfinger. But Odd Job, he correctly picks a lot of good baseball. So we're going to have a daily conference. We're going to move it around, but Hooters, we're going to start with Hooters this
week.
Sure,
I would think.
Yeah, but anyway, Goldfinger and me had a conference about 8 o'clock last night,
right?
Down at the Hooters downtown.
Sure.
And
it's a conference. Yeah.
What we concluded was that North Carolina would win, so we shipped about 2,000 on that game, and it pulled. It won last night, Timmy.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. Did you bet on it? Did you win, Tim, on North Carolina?
Well, I mean, you told me about it after the game was over, so I could not bet on it.
Oh, hey. Hey, you guys, I was...
Yeah, change subject.
I was doing a little charity work Saturday night.
What'd you do?
And somebody that's met all three of you said to say hi. I got to talk to Tony La Russa for a little while at his charity event Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Remember those clowns?
Whoa.
And Kat Hayes and Tim McKernan, those radio and TV guys. And he's like, yeah, I remember all them guys. I said, yeah, they got an awesome radio show going here. And he goes, oh, tell him I said hi. And he said, we were holding a rescue puppy that was up for adoption and got a photo with me and my brother, Gordon. And that's my other brother, not Sully, but Gordon.
Yeah, right. Gordon Recaps, I think, is his name.
That's correct.
Yeah. Who? What, Kat?
Nurse.
Yeah.
That wasn't me. That was Doug.
Oh, well, shut up, Doug.
For heaven's sakes.
So anyway, we're holding the puppy in the picture, the rescue puppy, and he did get adopted, by the way, so that's a bright side.
Good news.
But when I named the puppy, I said, Tony, I named the puppy. And he said, what do you name him? And this puppy weighed like 30 pounds. He was a big puppy. He said, well, yes, I named him Mark after Mark McGuire.
He said,
you know, Biff, he said, that was one of my favorite players of all time. He goes, guess who I had dinner with last night? I said, who? He says, I had dinner with Mark McGuire and Albert Pujols in the same evening.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Doug isn't.
It's very cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he managed them both, so he would know them pretty well.
Did you adopt the puppy?
Yeah, he said other than...
His mic's been turned off, kind of sending a message.
No. Did you adopt the puppy?
If I'd have had just a couple more beers than me, I would have.
Well, how did you name the puppy if you didn't adopt it?
Well, they had a contest to see who could name all the puppies, and I won.
Oh, okay.
Doug?
You're on a big winning streak, Biff.
All right, Biff, I got to go. I just got to, really? Once we get to puppy naming, at that point, I got to pivot. Plus, Gary Kornfeld says he's sick and tired of listening to Biff.
I'm not trying to brag, but I once had dinner with Joe Thurston.
Whoa. Did you?
Yeah, I'm not, you know.
Utility infielder.
That's how I roll.
Yeah, which is big. Which is big. Didn't Jill Thurston come to one of our radio shows?
He did, with Colby Rasmus and Brendan Ryan. We always got the big right. names.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were nice guys.
They were nice guys.
Yeah, they were.
And you're a nice guy.
Well, I don't know.
Biff needs to stop referring to his ladyboy lover as ladder or roof. Insults the listener's intelligence and is disrespectful to him / her. That's from Uncle Leonard's love child. Uncle Leonard used to do commercials with Vince Coleman?
Yes, he did. I don't even remember what he was selling. Appliances, I think? Was it television?
Reads for DraftKings.
Televisions, things like that.
Now, this isn't me saying this. This is just what I've picked up from the text line. Yeah, that's it. But it seems a lot of Biff's stories really come down to wanting you to sort of acknowledge his betting prowess. Am I wrong? It's not me.
He texted me like at 10:45. I'm already hopped up on sleep meds. And he said, hey, I won on North Carolina. And I'm kind of like, you know, I mean, 50-50 shot, heads or tails. And so I did not take that. Because, again, at first when Biff was on this hot streak, I was under the impression like he had some kind of formula and he was using data in order to get there. And the more that I realized he was essentially betting on half the NHL slate, and if he was losing a game, then he would bet on a bunch of other games. It just screamed to me this was a degenerate situation that I needed to back away from. It was a fun little run at first when I thought he was really seeing things that the rest of us couldn't see, and then it became clear that this guy just likes to bet on everything.
Well, it's good to know that he's got a source now that's good at baseball to tell him to bet Kershaw over the Padres.
14-2, 14-4, I think it was.
Yeah. Somebody posted on the fan page yesterday when I was doing the DraftKings, they said, here's Biff's team. Yeah, the top six golfers with a salary cap of about $74,000.
Well, I suppose if you've got the bankroll, that's a pretty easy way to make a little bit more. You take the prohibitive favorite and just cash in more.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was a truly long-term profitable strategy, everybody would do it. It's a high-risk, low-reward strategy, you know? I mean, Kershaw has to win 5 out of 5 of those. Otherwise, if he only goes 4 out of 5 at minus 450, you actually lose money.
No.
So that's the thing with it. But, you know, hey, he has the jack so he doesn't step back?
I think that's what
that's how
say.
You do it, yeah.
Hey, Iggy, it was Phil Mickelson in 05 that won it In-N-Out at the Masters, menu pal. And don't call me buddy, old-timer. P.S. Quit trying to hold Biff accountable for naming a puppy. That's from Recaps.
Pal, I mean, then you just answered my question. You said I had an insider. I just told you I read that where somebody did it.
Just
you
say I'm hearing. It. Just you, saying I'm here.
No, he answered the question for me, so thank you. But it's not like I'm... Am I supposed to be pissed off because you pointed out it was In-N-Out Burger? I said I couldn't remember who it was.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, calm down, Angry.
Oh, man, I taste good, don't I, bro? No. Doug Bertarelli Cutler.
No. Well, we know all about their sharpening. I'm Chop Chop Cheeky and all that. That's how they really made their fame. But they also have this paper company. Warehouse, restaurant, office managers. Bertarelli Paper Company can give you the quality products you use for a quality price. You need paper at some point. Well, I'm telling you now where to get it.
Right.
Not only paper products such as toilet paper, paper towels, register paper, but also industrial, medical, and restaurant gloves, to-go boxes, trash can liners, napkins, cling wrap, you name it. If you have the need for a paper product, you can get it at Bertarelli Paper Company. It's a family-run business with personalized service to give the attention you and your business deserve. Visit them online at BertarelliPaperCompany.com. That's Bertarelli Paper Company and Sharpening Your Knives and Scissor Company right there on the hill. Bertarelli Paper Company.
Jimmy Walker just announced he has mono.
The kissing disease that teenagers get?
Yeah.
Well, how's he doing with that?
I haven't passed it on to the kids or to the wife, so that's good. I've just felt so bad all year. I've had glucose testing, Lyme disease testing, and we finally got it figured out.
Mononucleosis.
Hey, Donald, would you quit asking me that, Randy?
Oh, man. There was
what a drop.
Meat chunks in that one.
That's going to skyrocket on popularDrops.com.
One more time, please. One more time.
D. Dodum, would you quit asking me about panties?
Who's Plowsy's Laugh sponsored by, Tim?
That's the Post, Sports Bar and Grill. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Right. Boy, that Post is good.
Mm. I haven't been in a while. I got to go.
Maybe you settle in tonight with a little Post Sports Bar and Grill. Use Postmies for the Post and enjoy some Cardinals at Cubs and enjoy some Blues at Jets.
You're not working tonight, are you?
No, I'm going to the Cardinal game.
Ah, so you can.
As a big old fan.
You could go to the Post before or after?
I could, yeah.
Do it.
Well, maybe I will. Who says I won't?
Reward yourself.
Yeah.
You deserve it. Who'd you get your tickets from? Their big game?
Yeah, friend.
Mm-hmm. Free.
Yeah, of course.
You're the king of free tickets.
Well, it's hard for me to justify walking up to the ticket counter and spending $200 on tickets. Hard for me to do that.
Ryan Kelly, you seem to bother him every time you want to go to a game.
Well, that's like once a year.
Where are you going to be sitting?
What do you mean I seem to bother him?
Where are you going to be sitting?
I think in one of the suites.
Maybe I could pop by.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think there's enough room for everyone. It's pretty much where the elite are. I don't know that you'd mingle well in the circles with which I...
Moneyed? Are they moneyed?
Moneyed circles, yeah.
Right. Ooh, at masters.com, you can watch the players sit on the range right now. Sweet. Live on the range, Doug. Look at this. It's awesome. There's Spieth on the range.
They don't have driving ranges at just any course.
Boy, that's...
So
that,
when they get there on the Masters,
that green is greener,
special.
Tim.
There's Rory on the range. That's what they call the range now. Rory's range.
What?
He does something unique at the Masters. He goes to the range and he practices. He practices for the holes that he's about to encounter on this magical journey.
What holes are you going to encounter on your
Masters
journey?
Masters Week.
Bro. What does Spieth have there? Like a sandwich?
Spieth has a sandwich. It's not any sandwich.
Sandwich.
It's a special sort of sandwich. He'll use this to get in the sand and out of the sand. Only at the Masters. Tradition like no others. They don't have sand just anywhere else.
They're doing interviews on the driving range.
And they have their own mic flag, the Masters.
They'll do interviews because this is a special kind of tournament. And what you think now is so much more important than what you thought last week at the Shell Houston Open. Because behind you is an azalea.
Hey, Donald, would you quit asking about panties?
Beautiful. Well done.
What if that happened at Butler Cabin Sunday?
Doug, do you think we're going to hear a free dotum at the Masters this year?
Matt, who bowls at Hanks, is there.
Is he? He won't yell it. They'd probably throw you out.
Well, they don't know because you time it along with the cheers when someone is about to tee off.
Mickelson trying to light up the crowd again. Birdie to win the hole.
See, don't yell that. Don't yell it.
Right there at Hazeltine with the Ryder Cup on the line.
God, that was perfect.
I saw some writer, I think he was with SportsIllustrated.com. He was telling the story that last year, the year before, he and a friend wanted to run up and get around the 18th green just for the closing putt to win the tournament. And so they started running, and they were told that they would have to knock that off, that there's no running allowed on the Masters course. You can't run at Augusta.
Can you run at like Pebble Beach or Torrey
Pines? I'm sure you can.
Well, they're sticklers. If you drop like a wrapper, they tell you to pick it up.
Oh,
They have plastic, those placards for everything. No running.
I'm sure they do.
Don't pick up that wrapper. Grab some deodorant. You smell a little rough. Like they just hold up a little sign.
The Masters is played in April, but it was a fellow by the name of Don Genuine with a chip I think we'll all remember from the Frog's Hair at 17. He didn't put it in the cup, but he got it to within the leather. And he would complete the putt and get his par, something that just isn't seen anywhere. And it's part of the Masters lore that makes it so very special.
What's your favorite hole?
I don't really have a favorite Masters hole. I don't have one.
I think I like 16. But at the same time, the drama of 12.
I don't care about the drama.
Who cares about Bill?
I like 3.
I would love to play Augusta National. I don't necessarily want to just throw hosannas at its feet every day as soon as a tournament comes around. This is the greatest, the most fabulous thing. I've never seen it. It's just absolutely, it's so much better. Stop it! It's a golf tournament. It's a nice little tournament.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
Unlike any other.
I like 13.
Why do you like 13? You're still on Amen Corner at that point, Doug.
It's a hole where if you hit a good drive, you should get there in two, but you still have Ray's Creek, which you wouldn't think would come into play
right.
with a 200, 215-yard shot, but yet it does.
Right.
So I enjoy
it. It becomes a middle game at the Masters.
It does. I enjoy it.
And Ray's Creek was named after Ray Mancini.
Ray Langford.
Raymond Floyd, I believe.
It's spelled R-A-E, though.
I could be wrong again.
Well, it's probably been there 100 years.
I preface everything that I say now with I could be wrong.
Why is that? Because of Gordon recaps?
Well, because 90% of the time I usually am, but then I can cover myself. So I said I could be wrong.
Maybe it was Ray Ordonez. Is that possible?
Yeah, he had a nice run with the Mets. Tim, can you please give a breakdown of the drive, chip, and putt competition, especially the boys age 10 to 12 group? Thank you.
Yeah, let me tell you, there was some kind of porkly kid.
Uh-oh. Can we lay off the young tykes?
Well, he
Gaga would not like you body shaming young.
Well, I didn't say he was fat. I said he was portly.
Well, right. But
game changer.
Yes. But he watches too much TV because this guy spent 7 minutes lining up a putt and then knocked it about 9 feet by.
I'm getting a contract.
He went behind the hole. He came back. He lined up the putt. He went back to the side of the hole, behind the hole, the side of the hole, back. Marked it again, came back, looked at it again, and then took about 5 practice swings, went behind the ball again, and then knocked a 15-foot putt 9 feet by.
You
Stop watching the pros.
You might have been less angry at him had he not been portly. If you were thin, you wouldn't have held it against him.
It had nothing to do with it. I just mentioned I was trying to give you a mental picture of what this kid looked like walking around the green.
When
you play golf... Do you walk around the other side of the hole and look at it?
Very rarely.
Examine the
very rarely.
Grain?
Unless there's a big hill that I have to look, but normally I just get behind the ball. It's either going right. Just, it's either going left, and I hit a putt.
Just take a look at it. And can we move on? These guys behind us are coming up on us.
I like the pose. Don't you think people are there to see you? I look at it when I golf. People are there to see me, so I throw a couple of poses their way.
That's the
nothing
right thing to do.
Yeah.
Nothing will drive you crazier than the group in front of you just thinks they're all.
You know what I'll do? Sometimes I'll lean on my club and I'll hold my chin like I'm pondering what to do.
Yeah.
The crowd loves this.
I bet.
The group behind us that's waiting. They seem to love this.
Hey, dumbass. It was Clayton Keller's family was kicked out. It's from the 618. Doug, it seems like that's a topic from about an hour and 20 minutes ago.
I'm pretty sure I explained that about 5 minutes later who it was. So
you did.
My apologies. I knew I was wrong. I just trying to give context there before I actually got the...
No, this guy does not like you, Plowjet.
I don't care.
The problem here is that Iggy watched the little kids drive, chip, and putt. Get a life, you old orange queen. That's from Ben Fred's buddy room.
It was on the Golf Channel and I watched it. Sorry.
Doug, do you have a problem with Iggy watching the drive, chip, and putt competition?
Well, there's got to be something else to do. Why don't you go drive or chip yourself? Isn't that more fun than watching other people do it?
It was a Sunday afternoon. It was raining. What am I going to... I'm not going to watch the kids. I'm going to go out and play in the rain.
Well, I would do just about anything before I'd watch a bunch of kids play golf on TV.
I like golf, and I was watching kids see how good they were. There was one 12-year-old chick hit it like 260. And she was tiny.
Don't say chick.
She was tiny.
A 12-year-old girl hit the ball 260.
Yeah, and she was tiny too.
Yeah, but anytime you mention a 12-year-old, it's going to affect.
Well, go ahead. Mention what you want. I was watching her play golf.
I expect she had some torque.
She did.
Michelle Wee wasn't much older than that when she was close to playing on the tour.
Yeah,
I think she was 14 when she played in an event. Actually, maybe 13.
And Kathy Postlewaite.
Oh, God. Posty. Right. Boy, how she could post up.
Yeah, she was the last American that was actually decent.
Glad we use physical features as a qualifier when describing situations. When I discuss the producer on TMA, I'm sure to say elderly and tan. Thank you. That comes from Recaps.
Stop
Recaps
it.
Is coming at you directly, Iggy, and I don't know what's going on.
That's fine. Don't most people say that?
Doug?
Wrinkly, leathery, tan, old man. I mean, that's pretty much what you say anyway. And I know who you're talking about, so fine.
Leathery. I don't like the description leathery. It sounds like a lizard or something.
I always say kind-hearted producer.
Well, thank
he's
you,
always
Ken.
Been very nice to me.
Ray's Creek is named after a former property owner in Augusta, Bootface. That's from Butch.
Bootface. Now they're calling us names.
Bootface, huh?
Because of the
I said
leather,
I could be
I
wrong. I don't know. I didn't know any of the property owners there.
I bet he was a legendary figure.
Guys, Iggy probably has 15 years of the Little League World Series on VHS in his dark, creepy apartment. That's from Timmy Tom.
No, I'm not into Little League Baseball, but I am into golf, and I like watching anybody who's decent, and this is something the Masters started a few years ago. And
drive, ship, and putt.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting to watch how young these kids are and get out there, and they're really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And it was on the Golf Channel. It's not like I sat there for 4 hours. I watched about a half hour of it. When this kid was taking 9 minutes to putt, I turned it off.
Sure. Remember, channel when, changer.
Do you remember when we were, what, Tim, we were like eight at the same time. It was a freak of nature. And we went into that radio contest, reads, segues, and drops.
That's right. And then the winner had the best teases.
Everyone will tell you, we have to get better at teasing.
Doug, it's time for the Hot Shots email of the day.
Hey, Donald, would you quit asking me that, Randy?
Perfect.
I'm afraid we're going to lose, Larry.
Dotem got in his craw. Tullamore Dew, the official whiskey, the Ryan Kelly. Morning After. We're giving away a Lemmings lunch. Hot Shots for TMA Live is on Thursday in Wentzville. What's it going to be like in Wentzville on Thursday night at Hot Shots, Doug? Holy moly.
Well, pony show?
Put that up.
No.
Hey, Doug, per your advice, I decided to go back and start analyzing some old shows. I spent last night breaking down December 10th, 2012. Some thoughts. Good to hear the Rams getting back to 500 at 6-6-1. Big catch by Austin Pettis, might have saved the season. Sure is refreshing to have meaningful football games in December again. I'm starting to feel like Sam Bradford isn't much liked in this town. You guys don't know if Johnny Manziel is going to translate into an NFL quarterback. Psh, whatevs. Dude's going to be a stud. Glad to hear the Cardinals inked Ty Wigington. Got a feeling this one's going to work out. Slurp me, Doug. Drink bleach, Bestel. That's from D'Angelo Hopkins, master of the proctological arts.
Didn't like it. D'Angelo Hopkins, master of the proctological arts. He's new.
Oh, Emily. Wow. Huge day for my sports radio fantasy team with Munchie's departure. The fantasy blogs are calling this the biggest first-round bust since Donnie Big Dog Gorski out of WCAR 1090 AM in Livonia, Michigan, strained his vocal cords in the first week of the 2014 season. I don't want to put pressure on you guys, but most of you are on my squad, so I'm looking for a few plays that could lock this up for me. I need Tim to change nothing, since Tim earns me an automatic 50 points a week just for being cute. Not sure if any of you have any Canadian connections, but according to the Barrett Scouting Report, a midseason acquisition of Matt Cundill will put me in position to sweep the rest of the season. League rules changed this year, and the cat no longer counts as my goofy minority presence, so I left a few points on the table there. But Doug's steamy takes on Mizzou's positions in the 2018 and 2019 tournaments have made up the difference. Speaking of Doug steamy, just kidding. To be serious, Doug, if you do me a favor and cover your entire body with nacho cheese tonight, that would do nothing for my fantasy team, but it sure would get me in the mood to toss some jalapenos on your nipples and sop steamy cheese off your meaty chest.
Okay, teeth. That's enough.
Let's do this, boys. That's from Leonard in the same shirt, but it's actually a girl. I can see her name.
It is not. Leonard.
And she went to Michigan Law, Ann Arbor.
No, she didn't. Leonard.
Doug gave that one a long leash, didn't he?
Shirt.
This was hot. This was from a girl.
He's been suspended a period of 2 days.
Well, you let it go, so I'm giving it 2 check.
The Horton Smith Masters recipe. The night before, Horton Cuckblood Smith won the 1934 Masters tournament at the beautiful Augusta track, where the cedar wind blows, the leaves tickle your toes, and where the stepdads drop loads. He ate an old roasted banana cake. Here's the world-famous recipe. First, you take some old bananas and mash them into a fine mushy mush with your finger bones. Mmm. Then you drop in a cup of milk, 3 eggs, and 2 tubes of butter. I know it sounds like a lot of butter, but stay with me. Next, add cream cheese and just a dollop, and I do mean just a dollop of vanilla. Oh, scrumptious. Now, place that pan into the oven at 425 degrees, and then place Doug's deliciously bleached onion ring smack dab on your kisser, and enjoy. That's from Chef Gene.
Just awful.
These are Masters
Chef
themed.
Gene.
People are excited about this week at Augusta.
I like when people say, stay with me.
Morning, fellas. The Zags have nothing to hang their heads about, except they didn't play well and gave away the championship. It cost me a unit in the process. And how is this Karmanoski guy going to explain his performance to his kids? The last time I saw a pole perform that badly, Doug was laying on his stomach and I was a bottle deep in a small batch of whiskey. Thanks. The hipster of Tower Grove South?
Hipster Tower Grove South.
Doug has given up, I think.
Guys, Plops here. 2 things. First off, I'm all for soccer in St. Louis. But if I see one more 60-year-old man dressing up his business casual look with a soccer scarf, I'm going to end my life. For the past month, everywhere I look, it's dad jeans, brown loafers, a soccer scarf, and a bottle of beer. Knock it off already. This is St. Louis. Get yourself a Jersey, a Marlboro Light, and some Adidas Gazelles and be done with it. Second, the soft opening of my new lounge space is this weekend, and I put you guys on the guest list. It's called Steam, and it's the area's first lounge 100% dedicated to rectal vaping.
I was going to give him a vote, too, until that.
Tim, yeah. Can the station sponsor it? I need to know by 10:30 today. You know what? You're busy. I'll just put you down as a yes, and I'll swing by to pick up the check around 11. Wow. Thanks, Tim. That's from Misty Plops, S.J. Misty Plops is Jesuit?
Misty Plops, S.J. Misty Plops is Jesuit?
Morn, whilst it seems that getting out today to vote in favor of Prop 1 and 2 for St. Louis seems like a no-brainer, I would much rather prop a live, hairless ladyboy up on the baby-changing station and just flat toss that summer salad like the Dickens. Think about it. This is from Tunnels 12,000.
Awful. Tunnels 12,000.
Doug, and finally, and it's unfortunate that it's on, and finally.
Any good ones?
Yeah, this one. Hey, howdy, Doug. You said the dome wasn't being put to good use. Don't you realize Comic-Con is coming this weekend? Celebrity guests include Jeff Goldblum's second cousin and WWE superstar Randy Orton. I'm sure Larry will be down there performing journalism. He should wear a form-fitting Star Trek uniform and Spock ears to blend in. If you could take a selfie with Steve in said outfit, that would be much appreciated. Speaking of interviews, I can't believe Donnie Most got bumped for Dave Peacock. Donnie's in town for Comic-Con, too. He played the third goblin in The Hobbit. Funny thing is, he wears the same chimney sweep hat in that movie that he wore in Happy Days until Gandalf lops his head off with a magic sword. Some Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. And that's what we have for the email today.
Pullman's Independence Day speech.
I don't think it was a great batch. I'm going Leonard in the same shirt. And I think I'm right.
He was suspended, so he is not eligible. I'll have to go with D'Angelo Hopkins, master of the proctological arts.
God, I go Misty Plops SJ. I don't know if it's biased because I'm biased towards the Jesuits, but that's where I am.
No, you're right, Tim. Myth.
Dang, damn it, Lucas!
You are wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Doug, you didn't suspend anybody with a Right Business Products pen, but we love Right Business Products. This is the Lion's Choice famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. It comes your way next year on 590 The Fan. For the Plowjet, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.